Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks for listening to the Prime Time with Isaac and Suk podcast, brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center, doing the right thing since 1952.
It's 5 o'clock. Time to bifurcate with Isaac and Suk.
Guys, move on.
Nope.
This is a draft week edition of Prime Time with Isaac and Suk.
Brought to you by Sherway Building Center, your summer outdoor project and remodeling store. Online at shurway.com.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080.
I think it's really sexy.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back. Big Monday broadcast. It's Rob and Suk. It's going to be a hot week.
Temperature-wise?
Yes.
What do we got happening?
90s.
Because it's not very nice outside today.
What do you mean?
Got a little overcast.
That's not nice to you now?
No, look at it.
It's a nice day out there.
Not really.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
Given that a minute.
You're a spoiled Northwesterner now.
It was raining all weekend down here.
It rained. No,
what?
Wait, what?
Yeah,
it rained for like 3 minutes.
Yeah, it didn't rain at all.
Oh, no. I heard like on Saturday that it was raining down here. And then when I drove back yesterday, when I rolled into town, the entire street was covered in water. Like it had just been raining.
Fake news.
There was thunderstorms in the area,
well,
but they rolled through fairly quickly.
Yeah, no, that was like a.
There was still rain.
It was kind of.
You said
flash.
Raining all weekend.
Yeah, dude, your weather.
There was rain. I can confirm rain.
So bad.
Saturday and Sunday.
Coming up here at 5:15, we'll talk about what Phil Mickelson did at the U.S. Open, complete with audio.
Can I fake outrage?
We'll also talk about the World Cup this hour. We've got a lot of World Cup items we need to discuss.
Oh, yeah, 90 and 93 tomorrow.
That is a soccer tournament, for those who don't know. We have the Club Hour coming up from 6 to 7. I have a celebrity death pool sleeper.
Ooh, we had a celebrity death today. Kinda, sorta.
What?
See the rapper guy that got shot?
No.
There's a video of it.
What's his name?
Triple X.
Temptation?
Tentaction?
Boy, I tell you what, I gotta tell you something.
I honestly, I've heard of him, but I have no idea how to say his name.
Every time I hear a rapper's name now.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait, who?
Who?
What? He's a what?
Yeah.
A rapper?
And
right, like, do you know any rappers other? Like, there's the obvious, but then there's always these rappers in the news. Like, I had to unfollow TMZ on Twitter because all it is stories about rappers that I don't even care about or never heard of.
Well, I guess the thing is now they're all rapping like on SoundCloud, so they're like self-made. They're like they're not really.
That's cool.
Yeah, they're not really mainstream, but they become popular and make money, and they all kind of look the same. They all have like the face tattoos now and I don't know, but there's a video of it. Like the dude got shot in his Lamborghini and instead of anyone trying to help him, they just filmed it on his the cell phone. It's kind of disturbing.
Also in the club, Domino's repairing potholes. We'll discuss that right now. The Hot 5 at 5.
Oh! Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, darling, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on Primetime with Isaac and Suk.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
Refreshed by Frostbrewed Coors Light. Download the reward app and start earning points towards one-of-a-kind experiences, game tickets, and rewards.
I like turtles.
By the way, a lot of weather bros are chiming in saying you guys are full of it, but it rained pretty hard for extended periods over the weekend.
It depends where you were. At my house, we got two sprinkles on Sunday, and that was it.
This guy says it rained all evening on 14 yesterday between Vancouver and Camas.
Yeah, we got maybe 20 minutes of a sun shower yesterday. I don't even think it rained on Saturday.
This guy says if 3 minutes, you mean a downpour for 45 minutes, then it rained for 3 minutes.
Oh, for God's sake.
I'm just saying. Some weather bros taking umbrage with you two dumbasses.
No, you're the dumbass, and you're feeling insecure about it because you're wrong about the weather, and it depends on where you were. And yes, there were scattered thunderstorms last night, but they were way east. And a little bit in Portland. It kind of came through Portland. I got a few.
Did you watch the radar map, Suk? No, you didn't.
It didn't rain all weekend, you idiot. The Cavaliers have called the Spurs asking about what it may take to land Kawhi Leonard. Cleveland does have the number 8 pick in this week's draft. Did you know
the NFL draft? What?
Yeah, they're going to do it again.
They're having an NFL draft part 2.
Yeah, they're going to try to overshadow the NBA draft, so they're going to have another one. No, the NBA draft is this week.
Yeah. There's zero chance, by the way, that Cleveland comes up with a package. They can bring back Kawhi Leonard, unless you're willing to trade LeBron.
Well, they're all capped out. They could trade Kevin Love, but he plays the same position as LaMarcus Aldridge. Other Spurs news, Rudy Gay reportedly declining a player option. He wants to become a free agent. The Blazers pick 24th on Thursday. The Capitals just won the Stanley Cup, but their coach resigns.
Yeah,
how about that?
Old Barry there. It sounds like he wanted an extension and they couldn't come to terms with it, so he is going to step aside. They said that they were disappointed, but it sounds like they weren't willing to pony up for him.
Barry Trotz.
Yes.
And yeah, his contract was up, and apparently he and the organization, as they say in hockey,
couldn't agree
on a salary.
It's weird, though, that you win a Stanley Cup, you know, for the first time, you know, ever in that franchise. You should be a conquering hero, and you lose your head coach.
Number three
World Cup matches today. Sweden over South Korea, 1-0. Belgium, 3-0 over Panama. And England downs, is it Tunisia?
Yeah, I think that's how you say it. Tunisia.
Now, on the broadcast, they were saying Tunisia.
Tunisia. Okay.
But I didn't know if that was like the way they say it in England.
I've always heard of it as Tunisia, but
that's what I always thought.
Yeah. Doesn't Bear Grylls say glacier?
Yeah, and vitamins.
Vitamins.
So I don't know if that's Tunisia. I don't know if that's an accent or not, but
England wins that one 2-1. Harry Kane with a goal during stoppage time. He was also responsible for England's other goal. And over the weekend, Mexico beat Germany, causing a minor earthquake upon the celebration.
Yeah, they said that it showed up on the Richter scale there with people jumping around.
Good for them.
Yeah.
That's great.
And Germany devastated because Germany was one of the odds-on favorite.
Well, they're not dead yet.
No.
Just a disappointing start.
Yes.
Is all.
Number two.
We have a baseball trade today. The Royals have dealt their closer, Kelvin Herrera, who had a 1.05 ERA and 14 saves this season, to the Washington Nationals. This just happened, so we don't know the prospects with which were dealt to Kansas City, but apparently it's three good prospects, but not that Robles kid.
Yeah.
Who is the Nationals' top prospect. The Mariners are not only opening a set with the Yankees tomorrow, they could battle one another in the wild card race for the rest of the season, and they'll also be grappling for help in the starting pitching department come the trade deadline. Today's report that both teams are interested in Blue Jays starter Jay Happ. He's 8-3 with a 3.48 ERA, and he is also in the final year of his deal. You may remember that the Mariners dealt Michael Saunders for Happ in 2014, and he wasn't very good in Seattle, but then the M's traded him to Pittsburgh and he was great.
Yeah, and the downside of this is that supposedly the Mariners don't have a whole lot to offer, that their farm system is not very robust right now.
The Mets say they'll listen to offers for anyone on their roster.
Well, they have the best pitcher in baseball right now, and the Mets are going nowhere fast, so you know, if you're willing to pony up, DeGrom supposedly can be had, and he has been absolutely dominant this season.
And it is an elimination game in Omaha at the College World Series. Washington taking on Oregon State. Loser goes home. The Beavers were down 3-0 to the Huskies with a 3-spot in the third, but they put up 4 in the fifth, but trail now to Washington 5-4. Here's the thing. That thing has been delayed by lightning and rain.
Like 3 hours now?
Yeah, for a long time. So
we have a time of the game resuming, though. 5:45 p.m.
All right, so 30 minutes from now, they'll get it cranking again. And the current scenario is they are in the top of the sixth. Huskies are up 5-4. And Zach Taylor is up. And the Beavers have the bases loaded with two out.
Yes, yeah, so this is going to be a fairly significant at-bat after a 3-plus-hour delay. And, of course, as you mentioned, winner go home. Oregon State losing to North Carolina over the weekend, and then Washington losing to Mississippi State.
Hot 5 at 5, refreshed by Frost Brewed Coors Light. Download Coors Light's new rewards app and start earning points towards one-of-a-kind experiences, even game tickets. Oh, Phil. Coming up next on The Fan.
This is a draft week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Suk.
Brought to you by Sherway Building Center.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, so if you're just tuning in, the Oregon State-Washington game will resume after a weather delay in about 25 minutes. We'll keep you posted on that. Good game, 5-4 Huskies in the sixth. But let's get to the Phil Mickelson news of the weekend.
Can we fake some outrage?
You are certainly welcome to do that.
I am disgusted. It's like he dropped trout right there at the U.S. Open and defecated all over the course. How dare he?
I have audio here.
And by the way, who knew Rick Riley was still around?
I didn't see Rick Riley.
Yeah, Rick Riley wrote some piece saying that it was the worst thing that ever happened in the history of golf. And I didn't know that Rick Riley was still alive. But apparently he shows up to be pissed off at Phil Mickelson.
Well, but when he writes, where does it?
I think it was The Athletic.
Oh, he's there now too?
Yeah, I saw it on Twitter.
Everybody's at The Athletic now.
Yeah, that's where you go.
It's the new thing.
Yeah, that site's actually doing real well.
Yeah, they're aggressive for sure. So Phil Mickelson, you know, look, the course is playing ridiculously hard. He hits a shot up onto the green down below the hole by a bunker, misses the putt. To the point where it's going to roll back down to where he hit the original shot.
And it wasn't like a super long putt. It just, it took off on him and it was going fast.
It was headed down into a gully and he didn't want to go down there and hit it again. So he ran after his ball. He saw it was headed that way. He ran after his ball and he hit it.
Run is a strong word.
Well, he kind of fat guy jogged.
He fat guy jogged. I do that.
And he hit the ball before it stopped, which is a 2-shot penalty. And of course, golf went crazy. Are you ready for the play-by-play?
I'm ready.
Here is the play-by-play of it happening at the U.S. Open. This was on the 13th green on Saturday.
And we cut over to 13. Peter, Phil's got to be real careful this one. This is a quick putt. It's going to move about a foot left to right. And again, this for bogey. Not the best day for Phil as he hammers that one. And that is going to, look at this. It's going to go all the way down the false front as Phil kind of playfully chases it. But he says, f*** it. Oh, my goodness, he said. It's my birthday, USGA. F*** off. I don't give a shit about anybody. He said, I want to just go home and rip bangers and bet on blackjack all day. Guy loves to f-ing gamble. Here's a little 6-footer for Phil, and they're gonna have to tack on a 2-stroke penalty. Oh boy, it's been a f-ing train wreck of a hole. That's a 10 for Mickelson. Well, I don't blame him, Peter. There's some days you just want to say f-ing it. This was one of them as he laughs it off with the grizzly bear he's paired up with. But we are going to now cut back to DJ, who's ripping f-ing bangers in the woods as he hit it there on purpose near the bathroom stall.
That's our good friend, Bob Menery.
That's such a...
He's great.
That is just a perfect situation for Bob to come in and offer his unique take on the Phil Mickelson situation.
The Dustin Johnson part at the end made me laugh hysterically when I first heard it.
He hit it there on purpose and got some bangers.
Well, here is Phil on why he did it. Now, everybody went crazy. As a matter of fact, I thought it was so funny watching. So I watched it back because we were up at Chambers Bay, but I went and watched it because I wanted to take the whole moment in, and I found it on the DVR, and I thought it was funny that Joe Buck really didn't know what to do. He was like, oh, my God. And everybody started commenting, and then they show a picture of Mickelson like walking towards some steps, and that's really just the bridge to go over to 14T. But Joe Buck hilariously comments, Phil, here's a shot of Phil, I guess, leaving the golf course. Or he thought he was walking off the course.
Or going to number 14.
Here's Phil on, here's Phil on why he did it.
It's a simple question. What happened over at 13?
Look, I don't mean disrespect by anybody. I know it's a 2-shot penalty. And at that time, I just didn't feel like going back and forth and hitting the same shot over. I took the 2-shot penalty, moved on. It's my understanding of the rules. I've had multiple times where I've wanted to do that. I just finally did.
Did you think the ball was going to roll off the green when you hit it?
No question. It was going to go down into the same spot behind the bunker. It wasn't going to have a shot. And I don't know if I would have been able to save a shot or whatnot, but I know it's a 2-shot penalty, hitting a moving ball. I tried to hit as close to the hole as I could to make the next one. And, you take the 2 shots, you move on.
Does it show disrespect to the championship?
It's certainly not meant that way. It's meant to, take advantage of the rules as best as you can. And in that situation, it was just going. I was just going back and forth, and I'd gladly take the 2 shots over continuing that display.
You're really admired around this golfing world, especially here at the U.S. Open. What do you say to those people that love you so much, follow you? Do you regret what you've done?
I've had an awesome day. The people here have been incredible. It's been, you know, singing happy birthdays, wishing happy birthdays. The people here have made coming here over the decades an awesome experience. And I had, you know, it's a fun birthday. I don't mean it in any disrespect. And if that's the way people took it, I apologize to them. But that's not the way it was taken. I took the 2-shot penalty, moved on.
So that's what he said. And then he got into the big media swarm and he said, well, I think somebody, he alluded to the fact that he was trying to save shots because he thought it would take him more shots to get back up and in from where the ball was going to roll, which is not true. He didn't think it through. He was just frustrated.
Because he admitted afterwards that once he did that, he went and talked to the rules official and he was like, look, I'm not sure where we go from here. And he thought maybe he was going to be disqualified. He just snapped. He was very frustrated. He ended up shooting an 81 on the day. He knew he wasn't in contention. You're right. He snapped.
He didn't want to go hit it again.
No.
He just didn't want to go back down there and play that shot again. And so, look, my thing is this is akin to Tiger Woods dropping F-bombs. Remember when everybody used to get on him? Oh, won't someone think of the children? Because no kid has ever dropped an F-bomb when he 3-putts or something, you know.
Because I did hear that where people were like, you're great. Now people are going to go out and, you know, people just learning the game are going to say, think it's okay to do this. And then they're going to say it's pulling a Mickelson and it's going to ruin the game of golf.
Yeah. I just, a lot of times with comments like that, you just don't give people enough credit. Look, Tiger Woods shouldn't drop F-bombs and Phil shouldn't have done what he did.
No.
But it's just so, it's so relatable to me. Like he's suddenly the first guy to do something on the golf course that they're not proud of, right? Like we all do that. And so when you see golfers do it, I just don't think they should make as big of a deal out of it as they did. I mean, golf is quite pretentious, and I understand that part of that is good. There's a reverence and a respect you play the game with, but when a guy crosses the line, I mean, you'd think he'd committed murder.
I know.
And it's just crazy to me, but
yeah, when I saw some of the stuff, because like I said, we didn't see it. We were obviously golfing together, and when I saw what was trending and like, oh my God, what did Phil Mickelson do? I was expecting something horrific. I thought Phil may have lost it or thrown a club or hit someone or like, because it just said Phil snaps. And I was like, oh my God, what? Phil snapped? What? He hit a moving golf ball.
Yeah.
No, Phil, he took the penalty and walked away. And by the way, he offered to resign. He offered to, I guess he said, look, if I'm going to be DQ'd, I'm going to be DQ'd. And the rules officials are like, no, you're like, you're fine. But the golf writers, and that's kind of my point. This to me is the unwritten rules of baseball, right? It's like, even who was it, Beef Johnson, the guy he was playing with, like he thought it was hilarious. He goes, look, I don't mean to like be disrespectful, but he goes, I thought it was hilarious.
Well, no, he said he'd never seen that.
Yeah, but he said he thought it was funny. Like he started laughing.
Well, they were both laughing about
yeah.
it.
So to me, it's like it's the unwritten rules of baseball. It's the old curmudgeon-y white guys that are writing about it are the ones that have the most problems with
it. You want to hear one?
Yeah.
You ready for one? This is the quintessential golf writer that you're talking about.
Yeah.
This man's name is John Hopkins. John Hopkins.
Of the John Hopkins University?
And he is British.
Yeah.
And here's what he had to say.
Oh, he's not happy, I'm sure.
About Phil Mickelson.
I think he was a chump. I think he made a complete mistake. In Britain, we would call him an ass, a silly ass. What worries me more is that he shows little contrition now. There's not much chastening. He doesn't look to me this morning as though he realizes quite what has happened and how he's offended so many people. And if my judgment is rather severe, then I'm British and I make no apologies for it.
So even he admitted, yeah, I'm British and I can kind of
That's my part that I roll my eyes at. I mean, he doesn't realize what he did. What do you like? He shoot a kid? Like he took a 5-iron to a kid's head? No. Yeah. He hit a moving golf ball.
I agree with this guy. He's like, you know, he paid the price. He had to take a 2-shot penalty for that.
And he missed the putt.
He knew it. I mean, he knows that. He knows the rules. He knows that he can't do that. He just was frustrated, and it went on his score, so he didn't shoot a 79. He shot an 81, and that would have mattered if he were in contention, but he wasn't in contention, and he knew that, and that's the only reason he did it. So let's all take a deep breath and move on. I don't think he should have been DQ'd.
We're going to be okay. We will, together as a country, somehow we will get through Phil Mickelson hitting a moving golf ball at the U.S. Open.
I will say that I think that if any other of the bros out there, like, okay, let me paint this picture for you. What if Patrick Reed does that?
Yeah, people are going to be pissed.
Then what happens? Like, to me, it seems like Phil Mickelson is kind of the one guy that he can sort of get away with that. No one can get away with that more than Phil. Like, if Patrick Reed did that, he might have been DQ'd. If certainly if a guy like Daniel Berger or one of those other guys that was up there that no one really cares about, if they did that, they'd probably be DQ'd.
He's got a little, Phil's got a little Charles Barkley in him, and that just kind of the way he is, he's able to get away with more than the average guy. You're right. There is something to that, that Phil gets away with more for kind of being that jovial sort of guy. But I don't know. I don't think they would have DQ'd anybody that had done that. I mean, I suppose
I think they might have.
What was the provision? They said there was a rule saying that it was, I'm trying to the exact wording, but it was basically like conduct detrimental. Like you could, there was a rule in there that if you do something that's like egregious, that hurts the game, you're allowed to be disqualified there. And that's what people were calling for Phil, because he disgraced the game so much, or he made himself into a silly ass.
Well, yeah, he definitely is a silly ass.
He took a 10.
But
isn't
we've all
that
done
punishment
that.
Enough?
Well, that's what I was saying. I mean, He's the one that had to take it on the scorecard. But I don't know. We've all done that on the golf course. It's just, it's hard to, you know, play the other side of the fence and slam him for it. You know, it's like John Hopkins has never dropped an F-bomb or hit a moving golf ball.
But, isn't this, can we use this?
Did you hear him? He probably hasn't.
He probably hasn't. it's a valid point. But can't you say this about every sport, right? McEnroe did this in tennis, right? McEnroe was constantly, not living up to the stuffy nature of tennis. Or we see this with receivers in the NFL when they're barking at their coaches, or Tom Brady blasting a teammate on the sideline and yelling and screaming. I mean, this happens in sports all the time
where
a guy goes against what would be the perceived norms, but we don't freak out and say that the guy should be thrown out of the game.
No, but golf prides itself on being a little different than that, and there is a higher standard, and I get that, but we don't need to get too carried away. Here's a text. You can text the fan text line 55305. He got away with insider trading. He can certainly get away with this. I like that. And how about this? If Lefty would have teed off on the 14th tee like Happy Gilmore, he would have earned at least one lifetime fan in me. Wouldn't that have been awesome?
If he just says,
he just doubles down.
F the rest of the round.
He doubles down and goes Happy Gilmore off the 14th tee. Oh, my Lord. I would look. I've heard a lot of
putts pool style on the 14th. Gets down there on his knees.
Phil Mickelson is certainly a polarizing figure out there. And, you know, we know a lot of people in golf, and we've heard a lot of things about Phil that he's not the nicest guy behind the scenes, and he does rub people the wrong way. However, knowing that, I still love Phil's bit on the course. I love watching him play. He's a fellow lefty. He's great with the fans. I don't know if you saw the
the lucky duck hat.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
So there's a guy who was wearing a duck hat. Not Oregon Ducks.
A Donald Duck hat.
Donald Duck hat. And he was out there and he filmed it. And he would go find Phil on the golf course. And he said, Phil, you got... And he would yell, you know, these boisterous fans. We were talking about that earlier at this tournament. And they're always yelling at the players. And this guy would film it, and he would say, Phil, you got it. The hat's good luck. You got to come tap the hat for good luck. Well, Phil did once. Well, this guy keeps following him around the golf course and films multiple moments where he gets Phil's attention. He says, hey, you got to tap it again. This hole, you got to tap it again. And Phil ran over to him every time, smiling, laughing, having a good time, tapping the hat for good luck. And the guy put together a Snapchat of it or something. And it went viral. And they were just so excited. The fans were like, oh, man, this guy's great. Phil's great. And he had a good time with it. A lot of guys would have been pissed about it or wouldn't have participated. But he's great with the fans. Phil, when I kind of flipped on Phil was when he did David Faraday's show.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought
it's a great show, by the way.
I just thought he was wonderful on there. It's a two-hour piece, and it really is good to get, you know, kind of shed some light on who Phil is. And I just think he's an interesting guy, and he's polarizing, and not everything he's done I've loved, but he shouldn't have done what he did on Saturday, but I like him. For some reason, I like him.
Well, I like him because I think Phil's good for the game of golf. I get that there's golf etiquette, and it's different than other sports. I totally get that, even though I'm not a full golf bro. It certainly is not my scene, but I respect the traditions of it. But I think every now and then, a player like Phil, in any sport, to shake it up a little bit is good. And as you mentioned, he's good with the fans. Did you see Sergio in the fans this week?
Yeah, he hates heckling American fans.
Yeah, so, you know, there's the Barstool Sports, what are Saturdays for? Like, they asked that to the players, and you're supposed to say Saturday for the boys. Someone asked that of Sergio, and someone says, what are Saturdays for? And his response was, blanking you in the blank. That was his response to it.
Yeah, great guy.
So let me ask you, which was worse for golf? Phil doing what he did, or Sergio getting caught on camera, you know, responding to fans in that way?
Yeah.
Sometimes we need to lighten up.
Deal says maybe Phil should have waved down the drink cart on 14, have a couple beverages on his way in.
Get a stogie.
All right, we got to go. Coming up next, we wrap up the hour with the World Cup. Here's Mike.
This is a Draft Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by Sherway Building Center.
On 1080 The Fan.
Now to the World Cup. Big soccer tournament going on. Kind of cool. Involves
qualifying teams.
Involves a lot of teams from around the world. Not
going to be the United States.
USA! USA!
Well, but don't you dare root for another country.
Yeah, so let me play the Landon Donovan ad for you.
Boy, he's catching some flack. Speaking of people being fake outraged.
I don't know that this is fake as much as the Phil outrage, but Landon Donovan is the all-time leading scorer.
Yeah.
For Team USA.
I think he's the most decorated U.S. soccer player in the team's history.
Which is interesting. So before we get to this, let me bring in Soccer Mike and ask, I think of Landon Donovan, and I'm not sure why I think this way. I feel like there's a part of his story for some reason that has gotten into my head that he was a disappointment. Was he great? Or was he a disappointment? Because I sort of feel like, without knowing enough, he was kind of both.
The only thing, and maybe Soccer Mike knows more than this than I do, but I've seen a couple pieces on him, and it is my understanding that he is the greatest U.S. soccer player.
Ever?
Position player. But I think the
ever.
Ever. But I think the part that stings is he was never a phenomenal international player. I think we're still waiting for the U.S. player to go over and make a huge impact in one of the top leagues. And I think he had some success playing overseas, but was never one of the best players in the world. I think Tim Howard, I think the goalie from the U.S., I think he gets put in this same category, but he maybe had some better success playing in some of the higher leagues. Am I correct on that, Soccer Mike?
I don't know. I'm not the best on international soccer because I only started following it a couple of years ago. So for me, this is like my first World Cup knowing soccer the way I did because I got into soccer in 2014 in the last World Cup. I've heard what you've said, Rob, though, in general, just reading articles that he wasn't exactly the most beloved U.S. soccer player. I'm not sure though, if it's because he just didn't play well when he was on the U.S. team or if maybe because the U.S. didn't do well when he was their best player. I'm not exactly sure.
So I don't know about the beloved thing. I just think that he had a lot of hype. I remember him with a lot of hype, and maybe it was one of those things where he just so much hype that he couldn't live up to it. But I do think that it just, for some reason, I think of him, whether fair or unfair, that he just didn't live up to it. And maybe they just overhyped him. But anyway,
yeah, I'm looking here in almost every list. I've looked at five different ones, and they all have Landon Donovan as the best male U.S. soccer player of all time.
Okay, that's cool. Well, how far did we get with him? What's the furthest we've ever been in the World Cup?
I'll take a look at that. I think it was with him, and that was, two World Cups ago that they made a halfway decent run?
Well, now, with U.S. not in the World Cup, Donovan Mitchell.
They made the quarterfinals in 2002.
And that would have been with Landon Donovan.
Yeah, that's the furthest. Well, they made the semis in 1930, but I'm not going to count that.
See, you rolled your way semis.
Why don't you count that?
I don't know. It's
Mike, things that happened in the past count too.
Okay, you're right. They made the semis in 1930. But yeah, recently.
That was the most condescending.
I apologize. It was condescending for no reason. Recently, quarterfinals is the best, 2002.
And so, yes, that was led by Landon Donovan. I see that here.
In 1930.
No, that was in 2002. 1930, Landon Donovan has aged really, really well.
Was it Sweet Shoes Jones in 1930?
We need more nicknames like Sweet Shoes Jones.
Dude, find Team USA from 1930. I bet the nicknames are great.
See what I can find here.
We'll get some of their names in. So Landon Donovan, great USA player, I guess. He does this ad for this year's World Cup, because he doesn't play anymore. And this is the ad. It's about 15 seconds long, and this has pissed people off.
Well, remember, there was some controversy, and maybe this adds to it. Landon Donovan was left off the last World Cup team, and it was a big deal. I remember that he was an aging player, and they left him off, and it was viewed as a real insult to leave the greatest U.S. player of all time off that team. So some people think that maybe he's got some hard feelings towards USA Soccer, and that's why he's doing this.
Hey, it's me, Landon. The big tournament is just about to kick off, but not everyone's team is going, and that's okay. Wells Fargo and I are inviting anyone in need of a team to root for to join us in cheering for the Mexican national team. Vamos, Mexico.
And then he holds up a scarf that says my new team or my other team is yes. Mexico.
And people, for whatever reason, are pissed off.
I guess they're big rivals. Is that true, Soccer Mike? Big rivals, Team USA and Mexico?
I think so. I mean, I went on Dirt and Sprig earlier and said I didn't think so. And then I got lit up on the text line for it. So I read up a little bit more about it. And they have a history. Obviously, they're the two best teams in the CONCACAF, which is the federation over here in North and South America. But or North and Central America. But yeah, I mean, they are the two best sides. So sure, rivalry. Yeah, I just don't know if it's as big of a deal as some people are making it out to be, but maybe it's just.
Well, how dare he hold up a banner supporting the Mexican team?
You know what the key words in there were?
What?
Wells Fargo. He's getting paid.
Yes. So heaven.
And you would too.
Yes. If Wells Fargo was like, hey, here's 500,000 reasons to root for Mexico. Guess. And by the way, I love Mexico. Viva la Mexico. Someone pay me. I'll hold up the Mexican banner. I have a great time. I go down there every December.
Shouldn't we cheer for Mexico?
It's freaking wonderful. Yeah,
we're not in there.
It's our brother, right? We're hosting the World Cup with them. That in Canada. Yeah, if we're not, I root for Mexico and Canada. It's a North American thing. It's like rooting for the Pac-12, right? They're not your school, but don't you kind of pull for the, you know, the West Coast squad?
I think what some would say is no. If it's Oregon, Washington, like for example, the Ducks would never pull for Washington.
Yeah, but is Mexico our Washington?
Well, that's what some of the soccer bros are saying. I'll have to take their word for it. Now, who do you think Oregon fans are pulling for here in this College World Series game? The Beavers or the Huskies?
Ooh.
Probably the Beavs, right?
I would assume the Beavs, right? The Beavers are instantly more likable than Washington. By the way, that game is underway now.
Yeah, they finally started it.
Yeah.
So Washington is winning 5-4. There are two outs in the top of the sixth. Oregon State has the bases loaded. And their number nine hitter is at the plate.
Yeah, I would just think in general, if you want to root for someone, Oregon State, if you don't have a rooting interest in the game, Oregon State more likable than Washington, although the Heimlich thing.
Yeah.
So I wonder, like,
will a child molester make Duck fans root for Washington?
See, therein lies the question.
He pitched in the first game and got pulled after two innings. Couldn't happen to an ice.
Oh, no! Like if you're an Arizona bro, though, let's say you're a Sun Devil or a Wildcat and you're like, oh, I want to root for the Pac-12. Who you root for? That may sway you to go to Washington.
Well, anyway, be outraged. Landon Donovan has switched teams.
How dare you, sir?
And I don't know. I guess I got to tell you, as I watch the World Cup, I kind of root for Peru because I went there.
Mm-hmm.
And I know those people are wonderful over there. And I remember how much they cared about their, you know, well, you know, it's a World Cup. Just the passion for the, you know, for their home teams, their homeland teams. It's awesome. It's a whole nother level of sport.
It can rope you in.
And it did kind of for me in Peru a little bit. That and they were into volleyball over there, which I thought was awesome.
It is strange when you go to foreign countries and see what they're really into. When I went to, Belize, they were into bike racing.
Yeah, it's just.
Yeah, bike racing was a big deal. England, it's all about snooker. They really love snooker and darts.
Drinking games.
Yeah.
But what was I saying? Peru. Oh, so who you root for? I don't know. But I always kind of, there are two countries for whatever reason that I'm always like, oh, kind of cool when they win. Mexico is one, and the other is England.
Really?
Yeah, it's like, because England won today. I'm like, oh, great. Hmm. And I don't really know why I'm fist pumping that. Like,
interesting.
I don't know. It's just.
That's because you have a connection to it. You have, no connection to 75% of the countries that are in the tournament, but you've been to England.
Yeah. The Swedes always do it for me because my mom was born and raised in Sweden. But I do find myself rooting for Mexico quite a bit.
But we're told that we shouldn't.
Why?
Because we're rivals.
But I like Mexico. I like going there.
And again, I've already said I'm not the biggest international soccer guy yet, but to me, it's like root for Mexico if you want. Who cares?
Yeah, who cares, jerks? All right, we'll wrap it up next. 550 on the Fan.
Turd Ferguson.
This is a Draft Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Suk.
Brought to you by Sherway Building Center.
On 1080 The Fan.
Okay, no good names on the 1930 U.S. men's soccer team.
No, I looked it up, and I even went through the Wikipedia, and no cool nicknames.
No. Bart McGee's kind of the coolest name.
Yeah, they got a Raphael who went by Ralph, and Alexander that went by Alec, but no three-finger Mordecai Brown, no crazy legs, no Silky Johnson.
So the Beavers tied it up 5-5. They've moved to the bottom of the sixth, but the kid there in the top of the sixth with the bases loaded got punched out on what was a very marginal.
Yeah, it was dodgy at best.
Do you think that was a strike?
No, I don't.
I didn't think so either.
He just called a strikeout on a Washington batter on the exact same pitch.
Yeah, that looked. I thought the Washington one was actually worse. I thought that was a good 6 to 12 inches off the plate. But I mean, I suppose if you're going to be fair about it, if you're given the outside strike, I guess you got to give it to. To both teams, so maybe there's some consistency there, but I didn't think either one of them were strikes.
One other Mexico note from the World Cup.
Viva la Mexico.
They beat Germany, and I guess that's a big deal because Germany's badass.
It was a huge deal. I was reading about that, and they're saying that was like a national holiday down there.
Well, they went so crazy once they won. Mm-hmm. Everybody jumping up and down caused a minor earthquake.
Yeah, it showed up on the Richter scale. There was seismic activity from people jumping around.
How about that?
See, and that's one of those things that I can get behind. Like you said, when it means so much to a country, and not that Mexico is a third world country or anything, but you know, it kind of gives the people something to feel good about and rally around. I think that's cool when you can get a group of people that. That have very different backgrounds, so they can all come together in support of one thing.
Now, did you see Iceland is now? I thought we went through this a couple of years ago with a team, might have been Iceland, but they tied Argentina. They played them to a draw.
Yeah, it was the same team, Iceland, and I think it was qualifying for the World Cup.
Yeah, that's that guy. That's right.
Yeah,
that's the play-by-play guy.
Yeah.
And I don't know what he was screaming about there, but that was the Iceland.
That was them qualifying for the World Cup.
Yes.
Oh, qualifying.
So when they qualified for the World Cup, it was, again, supposedly like one of like the great upsets in soccer history. And so that was Iceland qualifying for it. And then they tied Argentina, who's one of the favorites, and they have Messi. And Messi had a penalty kick to win the game, and it got stopped by the Icelandic bro, the goaltender. And when they did, the guy, same thing, he goes freaking nuts.
Same announcer. Do we have the audio of that, Mike? Maybe we can.
He can find it, but it's like his voice. I mean, it goes on for 20, 30 seconds, and then after he's just his horse. He can't even speak anymore.
Guy's great.
He's so happy. So Iceland had a 1-1 draw, and it was a big deal.
Yeah, and I guess they said 99.6% of Iceland watched the match.
Well, that's only like 9 people. So.
Well, I guess they were all over there. They everybody went over to Russia.
To Russia?
I guess that game was in Russia.
Yeah.
And yeah, because are all the games in Russia?
Yes.
So every World Cup game is in Russia.
Yeah.
Unlike the one that I was reading about the other day where USA got it, but also some games will be in Canada and some games will be in Mexico.
Yeah, they said it's the first time that they're having multiple hosts, but most of them will be in the U.S. I think Canada gets 10, Mexico gets 10, we get 60, and I think every game from the quarterfinals on is played in the U.S. So yeah, all the games are going to be played in Russia.
99.6, so 0.4 somewhere... 0.4% of Icelanders, Icelandic.
The Icelandic people.
Didn't watch.
Well, maybe you got drunk and passed out, or I don't know, you're just not a fan of soccer.
I'm going to figure out how many people that is.
Well,
I'll do the math.
I can look up the population for you.
Well, yeah, no, I got it. I know how to do it.
Right.
Believe me, I can do it.
I don't think you can.
I'll be reporting that number next. Very exciting.
See, like, again, I think that's cool when something like soccer can bring together an entire country. And I know it's different because the United States, obviously 350 million people versus, does Iceland even have a million people?
Oh, I don't think so.
No, you're talking a couple hundred thousand. So I get it's
335,000.
Yeah, you got it. I understand it's two totally different things. But I love that when an entire country rallies behind one thing like that. I think that's badass, and that's easy to get on board. It's easy to root for that.
So would that mean that, well, I'm not confident in my number. I will revise.
Take a moment
and bring that number to you next.
Let's take our time with this.
How many people in Iceland did not watch the World Cup game? We have Domino's news in the club, and a quick note on the subject of a Souk versus Python death match.
Yeah.
Got a little video today that
I understand.
To bring to your attention. Did you see it?
Yeah, I'm not going down. No. Did you see the size of that guy?
I have a celebrity death pool sleeper for you, all in the club next on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.